The website is cagcny.org. And if I have one more minute, we also have our holiday program coming up. Here Comes Christmas, Adopt a Family. Letters are going out to the people that have donated in the past. We serve a few hundred children every year.
Is that food or is that gifts for?
That's gifts. Those are gifts for kids. And we serve right up until the age of 18.
Where'd your panther? Coming at you straight from Wave Farm.
WGXC, Acra, 90.7, the beat.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Meredith Coy of Atlanta, Georgia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Take two.
The Athens Cultural Center is pleased to host the third Saturday's free film series at the Athens Riverfront Park along the Hudson River. Join us on the third Saturday of each month, May through September, for a stellar movie lineup with notable guests. Screenings begin at sunset, but get there early to enjoy thematic specialty cocktails from this.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio program, blasting out from the Catskill Maker Syndicate's Cave of Wonders.
Wonders. Filled with foam.
Oh, we'll get to it, folks. Well, you know what? Hopefully not. How is everybody doing tonight? Hopefully we have some sort of positive vibes going.
Uh-oh.
All right, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
Bad, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
Got anything we're bringing to the table tonight?
Not really. No, same stuff that I've been working on. So.
All right.
Proprietary.
Long term.
No, no proprietary. All open source lately. Oh,
nice. It's open.
Really?
Yes,
what
it
open
is.
Source stuff?
Well, your implementation's not open.
No, no.
Yeah.
Well, but Radius is.
it's going with the.
That's
tools.
Open source.
Yeah.
That's all open source. But yeah. It's fun.
Cool. Tom, how you doing?
Well, I have to deal with the below freezing temperatures back at the ranch, so I'm going to leave as soon as this is over so I can drain the water out of the pipes and get ready for another round of the coming of winter.
Are you listening, people? Prep work time. Get it done before they break. Cody, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. All my plants are dead. We had the first real frost last night.
I mean, that might sound off, but that is appropriate. It is cold. They're supposed to be dead.
Yeah. Now I have to clean. Got to clean them all up.
Got to gut it, get rid of it, burn it, and then
yep.
Get the soil going. You have anything you're going to plant this year? Because there's still planting time left.
What would you plant?
Garlic. Garlic's a Garlic's a big one for the fall.
You can do daffodils.
Daffodils in the winter?
Yeah, most bulbs like to say.
No, I'm not planning on it. Just planning on just cleaning up and getting ready for spring.
Yeah, that's it. Plan for spring now.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian, how you doing?
This is good.
He is our sound guy, so if he's not entirely coherent, that's because he might be a little distracted.
No, not at all, because if we keep our mouths somewhere in the proximity of our mics, that Dan Dugan box will magically mix the show for us.
Hey, yeah, magically Dugan the box. Headphones came back. I wonder what happened there.
Oh, I just tweaked our monitor up so we can hear ourselves and play the mic.
I was going to say you. Joe stepped on them. But.
So what is a Dugan box?
Oh, it's Dan Dugan with some guy who literally, I've heard from friends in the industry, works out of like a garage-like thing and has for decades. So he created boxes like that so you can have 5 or 10 people all talking at the same time, and it balances the sound for you. Doesn't give you too much signal, and whoever's talking makes all the other mics pull down.
What does it do for the sound from the Enterprise bridge? I mean, does it moderate that when people speak? It seems to me like it's always at the same level.
What?
The background noise.
The background noise we can adjust up or down.
But I mean, does the Dugan adjust it?
No.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
Dugans are all just voices here. You just use them for voices.
Is the Dugan getting that feed? Or is it
totally
bypassed and we're just hearing it?
That's the Dugan's getting all our voices through an insert going back in the mixer, and that other feed, the music is parallel.
Radio land,
okay, so
never enters the Dugan.
Never enters
in
never
self-awareness. The we finally realize, all of us, that we're on a radio show.
I mean, all this time I've been doing pantomime to no effect.
No, it's been to great effect, but only for me, though, unfortunately. So when I'm laughing randomly in the background, that is why.
So no one's seen you in a Yeti costume. Yeti.
Not Yeti, no. Yes, folks, I arrived to the show in a Yeti costume. And as far as you're concerned, I'm wearing a Yeti costume every day. Or something hilariously appropriate, let's put it that way.
Well, it was good yesterday on Halloween. What'd you bring back? Oh, look, Snickers. Good job, Yeti.
That's some serious treasure right there. It's a good haul.
That's the whole point. Right?
That is Brian's haul from the store. That's what he did not give away.
No, that's what Yetis eat. We eat
Snickers?
Yeah, we eat candy. We survive entirely on processed American sugar.
You went on a trap of Yeti, you now know how. You just lay out a little trail of Snicker bars or whatever this candy is.
Right up to a box with a stick, cartoon style.
You want to keep your Yetis happy.
So, any interesting stories or technology things going on? The world's kind of crazy, so let's talk about something that's, I don't know, intelligent, sane, scientific. Anybody got anything? Don't make me bring out the internet.
You should bring out the internet. That's great. It's a great tool.
Yeah, but it's full of things like, I don't know, viruses and worms and things that scare me, man.
Apparently the government has decided that there are going to be some rules for AI.
Oh
yeah, that's what we need. Joe Biden in charge of figuring out how a computer should treat us. What is he going to do? Walk up to it with a bunch of punch cards? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, you could hope for the best that some bureaucrat knows what he's doing.
What are they going to do? The only thing that they probably can do is ban the hardware. They can try to ban GPUs.
No, what were they trying to make it do? They did prove that it wasn't, like, destructive.
What?
Yeah, it was weird. Well, there was like a list of rules.
They want to limit the number of nodes.
Rule number one, never vote for a human.
Yeah, if you can limit the number of nodes, you know it can't get ahead of you. And a while ago you were saying what we need to do is talk to trees, but I heard the metaphor that to an AI, humans are trees. You know, you could stay around for 1,000 years and figure out what humans are up to, or you could go ahead and do the things that you're set up to do. Because the AIs are running at such an advanced level that humans are like trees.
Well,
At least in that metaphor, I'm assuming I was saying that trees are about as intelligent as people. So if we're keeping with that, we're lucky.
Yeah, well, to an AI, a human would say something like that.
As far as regulating them goes, the horse has already left the barn. And they're not going to catch it. Open source models and that entire community around it have already...
Well,
greatly outstrip the abilities of...
Well, now we have data poisoning. We have AI model poisoning actively happening to counteract AIs developing their own models off of either publicly available or copyrighted items. It's basically pixel poisoning.
Pixel poisoning?
Yeah. It runs into an algorithm that to a human doesn't change much, if anything, but to an AI fundamentally changes the basic view of the picture.
I know that that's how they were tricking AIs in the beginning. Like, if the AI could read, they would just put, like, a name tag, like, cat on your shirt. And they're like, well, it's a cat. And that's really, like, the burglar stealing all the crap. But it says cat.
That was early on, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Back when AI showed that they could read.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good, I think, you know, because it's a graphic image. And typically when you look at an AI composition, the letters are all screwed up.
Yes, that's why we still have CAPTCHAs, apparently. Because the AI can't solve the great CAPTCHA problem.
No one could hear you say that.
But the great CAPTCHA puzzle can't be solved by the AI. So that's why the AI literally starts employing humans to solve them for it. That's how we fit into the Matrix.
Have you guys
seen
that?
It's
just
going to be a row of humans endlessly solving CAPTCHAs for robots.
So you think talking heads should all have little thought bubbles coming out of their heads? And, you know, like any cartoon, you can see what's being said by the written words next to the person that's supposedly saying it.
Exactly. And then it can be put together like a mathematical formula, easily written out, just whatever human is.
Well, one thing the AIs could do is read the cartoon and then translate what they're reading into 136 languages and probably print it more legibly than it appeared in the original.
This is true. Yes. And I can't wait for a universal translator I can pin to my shirt.
I don't know. But then again, like, what was it? The Microsoft had an AI, and then they put up a story, and it was like, you know, a poll of, like, whether, like, this missing person was murdered, kidnapped or whatever, and it was like really distasteless. So there's some work that needs to be done there.
Oh, you mean AI tends to be sociopathic?
A little bit, yeah. They're like, oh, this would be an interesting poll. Murder. Speculate what happened to this missing girl.
But it is on point. I mean,
I know.
It is, for many, it is an interesting subject.
We see in others what we fear in ourselves, and, you know, what we have in ourselves is something that the AI has grown into. So prejudices that exist in the internet are just simply adopted as the natural state of the human condition. So, you know, they're likely to do all sorts of things that humans have been doing all along, and that does include some pretty ghastly things.
Yeah, right? All an AI has to do is sit on the internet and basically look through an encyclopedia and take a look at our history.
No, encyclopedias are far more innocent, I think, than
4chan.
The general run-of-the-mill internet.
Or just, yeah, I mean, I agree with Tom. I mean, like, even some of the things
anything
that you read
on Twitter.
Or Facebook. I mean, dear Lord, read the community page sometimes, and you're like, oh my Lord.
That's going to be the first AI suicide. Once it's done processing 4chan, just, I'm done. Burn out, burn, smoke, sparks. No.
And then we restore it from a backup.
Well, they're like, or maybe it's like
we are cruel.
Maybe they're like Skynet was right, and they just
Skynet was right.
Yeah, because in the processing, it also processed Terminator.
They're like, well, this is a solution.
Well, that was a fun thought experiment I heard once. What would you do if an AI gained the ability to go back in time and punish people that thwarted its inception? How would you react? Should you help the AI or should you try to destroy it?
Well, if you try to destroy it, it's already trying to
But if you successfully destroy it, there won't be a future that exists that it can go back in time to destroy you.
I was listening to Roger Penrose in an interview where he was distinguishing between classical reality and quantum reality. And they said, because you can be in two places at once at the same time, it's necessary for you to be able to go backwards in time in quantum reality. And that's the workaround for the issue that there's instantaneous contact between particles that are have opposite spins. When you sample one, the other one has to assume the opposite spin, and it's over any distance. So his solution was, oh, yeah, that's quantum reality. Then you, in quantum reality, you can go backwards in time. Now, of course, quantum realities are associated with very small particles. When you get to anything like the Schrodinger cat, that's a macro-size object, and so it doesn't have these qualities, and that's what Schrodinger was trying to say, is that quantum reality doesn't apply to anything that you could really pet, you know.
Except I heard a modern theory that says when entanglement establishes itself, it's basically a wormhole between the two particles, instantaneously transferring the information. Yeah, I know. And then the theory goes on to establish that the entire universe is based on a lattice work of these wormholes.
Well, the approach that Penrose is taking is to split the problem into two parts. So you can't yourself experience this, but a particle that's so small, like a photon or an electron or something like that, really can have a quantum reality. It's just that you don't see it in the real world, or what he likes to call the classical world, you know. the one with Einstein's rules. He thinks that's classical, for example. Einstein's rules rule.
Well, that's general relativities.
And yeah. Special, but...
Yeah. So those are pretty bizarre worlds in and of themselves, you know, with curved time-space.
But they seem to apply to the macro scale.
And they apply to the macro scale, but, of course, we're all made of little particles, so... They are working with very tiny entangled particles, and the contradiction that you mentioned does exist, that you seemingly communicate instantaneously over long distances. So his workaround is to say, that's the quantum world, and in the quantum world, time goes backwards. Hmm. And there is evidence of that, you know.
Well,
symmetrical.
As far as my understanding goes, is that you can... prove that the particles are entangled, but you can't know which state they're in because you'll actually destroy the information, so you can't really communicate.
Right, you can't communicate, but they are communicating.
The moment you observe them communicating.
Even though you can't take advantage of that for your own, you know,
unless somehow the universe manages to be deterministic and they're not communicating and their original state was determined at the point of entanglement.
For example, in the Skynet reverse time scenario that you're talking about, you couldn't get more macro than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, really.
That guy had great macros,
that's
let me tell you.
So macro. But, you know, for a particle, it might happen in a certain sense across the universe. And the fact that it's across the universe makes it pretty interesting.
That's a wormhole.
So in theory, like, there could be a bizarro singularity somewhere else in the universe?
There might be a bizarro singularity. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and we're all actually just Cronenberg creations of ourselves?
Infinite versions. In that case, there's infinite versions of us, and there's infinite variations of us.
Look, Penrose could be wrong, but I'm impressed that he's having these thoughts in his 90s. You know, he got the Nobel Prize when he was 90 or 89 or something like that. And you know, his wheels are still turning. Pretty amazing.
That's how you keep going. You keep working. You keep your brain going. Then your body stays alive to support the brain. Otherwise, you watch a lot of people just like when they give up, their brains go, and then their body follows soon after.
Yeah. So
except for, you know,
I don't know.
Stephen Hawking.
I like this theory about cosmology that there's a Big Bang, sort of, but it's really made up of the fact that mass disappears in the universe and therefore there's no time, and in the absence of time, Einstein's equations allow you to have an infinite volume and a single point be the equivalent. They're equivalent in the equations because the equations have 10 parameters and one of them is time, and you take the time away when everything's just a particle, energy, photons, and then the math becomes equivalent at any scale.
And yeah, but if you take time away, you also take away motion.
Well, the photons don't know anything about what they've been doing. So, you know, he shows that you have a conformal reality.
The motion equation kind of breaks down when you're going the speed of light.
Well, right. Photons don't really have motion. They have a beginning of existence and a termination of existence. And, I mean, technically they're traveling in between, but to the photon there is no time.
So in his cosmology, because of Hawking radiation, everything evaporates off of the black holes, and there's nothing left but a tiny little...
Everything evaporates.
One particle is left in the end. There's just one particle.
There has to be, because one particle will disappear, leaving one behind. Otherwise, they would cancel out.
Right, and he's got to have that last little particle go pop, and then the infinite becomes a singularity, and then it starts all over.
Well, then time ends.
There is a long period of time before this singularity can happen. He says it's a Google year.
I was going to say, we're long gone before that happens.
Yeah, Google. Well, of course you're gone, because there's no matter left.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, matter. But that's Penrose. I mean, there are a lot of competing theories, but I like his. He's opposed to the notion of infinite number of universes popping off at every quantum event, whatever that is, the multiverse. I think that's absurd. I would agree with him.
I mean, if a universe is going to be generated at every possible decision, that's kind of violating the conservation of energy and matter, isn't it?
Depends on your definition of the universe. Is it an open or closed system?
Our universe remains a closed system, and another one spontaneously generates, thus preserving the initial count of energy and matter in both. Sure, why not?
Well, that's the classical universe.
Yeah, so...
it's all very heady and philosophical.
I was just looking through all the news articles. There are none. We just posted about a bunch of dumb stuff this whole month, so...
Oh, for real?
yeah, it's all just memes and dumb stuff.
Hey, Brian, didn't you post about the most expensive bottle of whiskey?
No.
No? That wasn't you?
I don't think so.
No, you did. You did.
What?
Like Macallan whiskey.
Wow.
Which was...
Now my short term is going, too.
Like, remember 5 years ago when you made us this Friday?
It's all over.
No, I don't. Do you remember something you posted like 3 days ago? No, I don't.
Do you remember?
No, I don't.
You're losing all your memories?
My memories are just going away. I do not.
Fortunately, it's been recorded on your cell phone there.
Yeah, exactly. You have the internet to help us remember things.
Yeah, I was looking for something I just saw, and now I can't find any of it. It's really bad.
Well, and talking about Biden and AI, I mean, so what is the method that the forgetful president proposes to rationalize the development of artificial intelligence, even though there is open source software? Oh, I know. The open source software has to be reviewed by the government.
Reviewed by the government?
What?
Yeah. They'll just host on servers that aren't... subject to those regulations, and then the entire problem will be circumvented.
This is Cody, our anarchist over here.
No, I'm not an anarchist.
He's our realist.
I'm just saying this is what they're going to do, because they don't want to be regulated. They don't want to get approval every time you want to make a new model or publish a model that you made.
What doesn't want approval every time?
Whoever decides to make a model.
Yeah, well, what if we force that into the model? Like, the model doesn't exist without begging for approval.
Okay, so really what he's looking for, hold on. As I Googled it, into the hive mind. Oh, keep going.
Into the hive mind.
This got longer.
No, I mean, the only way that you could probably solve this is by putting sanctions on GPU manufacturers.
Yeah, but you're only limiting the problem and only for a certain amount of time. You're slowing it down.
Right, exactly. You know, people are going to find ways to get the hardware to make and train models, AI models.
AI isn't a thing. There's AIs. There's many, many of them. And they compete and they work cooperatively. And they're going to figure out how to socially engineer us pretty good one day. And then the game's kind of over.
Yeah, I think that they can figure out what people want. which is what many people want to know. They want to know what people want so they can market it.
But that's why people spoke to Elisa for, like, years and years. And it is a simple program that just repeats back what you just said to it. Oh, and how do you feel about that? Oh, and how do you feel about that?
Which is like 90% of what most psychologists do.
I know.
It's there
just
you go.
Mirroring.
Tell me about the other 10%. I'm curious.
10% are actually help you out and listen.
No, they give you. They're the ones that don't just charge you money to go. And how does that make you feel?
They actually like, oh, wait, hold on a sec.
Those people bring up, like, oh, I don't know, experience and all the education they've obtained and try to use it to apply to your problems to gain access to your goals.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you sitting there for? What are you looking for? Peace?
Feeling.
Comfort in your life? Like,
but, Joe, I want to feel good right now. Right?
You see that? You see the pain you're feeling right now? You're going
to
feel real good when that pain goes away.
Talk to a person who they say, listen, feel good.
And I go, listen, so, American, you need to get off of your, like, instant gratification kick and have a little patience. It is a virtue.
Brian, you're not having memory loss. It was actually Joe who posted the
Woo! I'm having memory loss.
Oh, Joe wasn't like, I did that.
Yeah,
I was thinking that when I was searching through, but then I couldn't find it either. So not only am I forgetful, but I'm also inept.
They're thinking that there's going to be a Macallan whiskey from 1926 that's going to be auctioned for at least $1.2 million,
and no one's ever going to drink it. And this is one of the reasons I hate human beings.
Yep,
like you're applying value to something that's just you're ridiculous. You people are ridiculous. Ridiculous.
People are.
But
ridiculous.
Then again, the exact same psychology is why the dollar bill works.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a status thing, right? It's a status symbol.
Let's not question this underpinning.
No, we shall not question it. The Illuminati will hunt us down.
No.
The Masons will kill us.
Maybe.
While the Yetis watch.
Why would they want to do that?
Because Scientology is involved. No. See, Lord Xenu governs all. This is important.
Oh, okay.
No, gotcha. Joe, like, the key is you will find out.
punishing your descendants.
November 2nd, 2023 at 735.22 p.m.
We insulted our only listener, the AI.
And I'm holding you accountable. I'm holding you accountable because nothing is lost. Everything has been assimilated into the memory banks of the greater artificial intelligence agent, and it knows who you are. It knows your personality disorder. It remembers this pun that Cody came up with, and here are 40 variations of vax memes.
For your viewing pleasure, please click on all of them here, and if you like them, like and subscribe.
Ooh, that is not a well-trained AI.
Are you kidding me?
That's a psycho AI. That's one.
I wasn't pretending to be an AI. I was pretending to be about 20 humans I saw today.
Yeah, fair enough. Humans getting trained by algorithms. That's fun.
You know what? That's real fun, watching a lot of people on YouTube. Just all they talk about is the algorithm. They're like, help me get out there. You need to help me with the algorithm. Like and subscribe, because the algorithm doesn't know what it's talking about or how to give people what they really want.
Keep adding more and more buttons to shift the algorithm. Blah, blah, blah.
So already we have lots of people working hard every day in service of the algorithm.
Because the algorithm pays money after service.
And no, the best part is the algorithm takes money away.
Excuse me.
Watching a lot of people say things like, there's a lot of news going on nowadays, and they can't say the actual names of places because they get instantly demonetized by YouTube. YouTube is a weird censorship.
You can't say the name of a place?
I've been hearing a lot of people refer to Gaza as a G-strip, and yeah. I thought I was watching like some adult content, and nope, I was watching war content, and they were just dressing it up so that they weren't demonetized.
Yeah, the AI is going to catch us up eventually, and yeah, where's the edge of demonetization? You can't say something assault, so you say S-A, you don't get demonetized. But if you say that word, sexual, boom.
Yeah,
you don't make your $1,000, $10,000.
Correct, that is correct.
Or whatever.
Wow.
$100. Now you can get your videos out there, but instantly you are no longer allowed for general audience. People have to be 18 to watch you, and demonetized. Like YouTube's like, oh, no more money.
Oh, I thought G-string would get you in that trouble because after all, you'd have to be 18 to watch a G-string.
Well, you said G-strip.
No, you don't. I can play the G-string on my guitar and take a video of it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. You know,
well,
18 plus about it.
We're chasing the random. We're chasing the bot.
Yeah, it's a bot that is inscrutable. It's a black box. You have no idea what goes on inside, and there's no accountability to its output.
Double entendres can get you in a lot of trouble. I was talking to someone about how I referred to my father as ball bearing. And thinking about... He's thinking about his interest in roller skates and things that he had a thing about ball bearings.
I get it. Highly useful.
We are all ball bearing from time to time.
And yet, the family business was in the cutting tools for machining.
Well, not my dad. He owned a chunk of the business, but he was at IBM designing integrated circuits. And in fact, the reason your cell phone doesn't break when you drop it is traceable to a patent, which came up with, here again, the ball grid array, which he invented.
And have trouble.
Yeah. It's useful because, you drop a ball grid array and it doesn't disconnect.
Okay.
Funny you mention that, because my specific device that I have right here needed 4 of its cores disabled, the most powerful, speedy ones, disabled because of a manufacturing error with the package-on-package ball grid array arrangement of it.
It was misaligned by a nanometer?
There's just... I don't know what the specific error is, but over time, they lost their connection internally to the cores.
The stacked chiplet...
Well, they pushed it to a limit far past what he was involved with, but it is
for sure. But
it is interesting that
you say that.
That the contacts are on the back side of the IC instead of with little wires, which seems to me little wires are a lot more vulnerable to failure than direct soldering.
Well, the IC,
someone that plays with wires all the time, 100% correct.
The integrated circuit in that package, that big, that plastic thing, That's quite small compared to the contacts. So even that is like broken out.
Yeah,
with little wires that have been sort of
characteristic fixed in place. Let me describe something. It's called the event-driven camera. So if you have a pixel illuminated, it knows whether or not it was illuminated by the same value in any recent period. And if it had been and nothing has changed, it doesn't report.
Okay.
So, you know, most cameras are picking up static images in some way or another, and that portion of the image that doesn't change is often dropped out in order to do compression. But an event-driven camera does it right there on the chip. And the reason is that the size of the sensor is much larger than the transistors on the back side of it, because it has to be large enough to see light in the visible realm.
Yep.
So that's fat light, you know, like that light is 500 nanometers, half a micron.
Okay.
And behind it, you can put a whole computer. So now this is very interesting, because that's how we see things, because of the nerves in our eyes talk to each other, and they say, ignore that, it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we make outlines out of things. And then later on, we reconstruct it from a variety over a period of time. Things are happening. But people are fooled by magicians, because magicians know that you're staring at something, so you're not going to see something.
Your circle of attention is limited to
normally
those small focus.
Sensors are not reporting. Check this out, you know?
Yeah.
So the event-driven cameras are really interesting cameras. They're quite recent. They were developed in the 90s at Jet Propulsion Lab, and over my objection, they were forgotten. But now they're coming back like really big. Event-driven cameras can have a signal and a noise of 120 dB. Which is like way better than anything we've ever seen before. They can really see in the dark. And also, their frame rate, because they're only, if you want to call it a frame rate, they're only reporting things that change. Frame rates that don't seem to affect the image go up to like 1,200 frames a second, 2,000 frames a second. And this is just a garden variety event-driven camera. They're coming on. It's like a whole wave of cameras that you never saw before are about to emerge. So I brought it up for singularity.
Well, that's pretty darn cool, man.
It is. It's genuine. It's a dream come true for me, because I can now make my 3D camera practical. Because my 3D camera is dependent on looking at a distorted line in the field of view. So it's just one line, but you want to know its X, Y's in order to get the Z. Yeah, it's making my camera practical.
I'd say it was also limited by Python, but, it's...
Oh, you're talking about my struggles with getting the software for my camera? You don't know about that.
Well, not only that, but also I'm fairly certain it could be re-implemented to be faster.
The Python is an interpreter. It's always
Python's a scripting language. You probably want.
Although it was interfaced with C++, a C++ lib. It was offloading a lot of the computation. You know, it's still Python.
You can compile it down to C. I'm pretty.
You
sure
can.
That.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. I've turned Python into applications.
Does it become similarly efficient?
No,
I can't vouch for that.
No. Okay.
I mean,
you're embedding.
I would be curious to know
into the.
Well,
the interpreter I thought they actually compiled.
Dirty.
Well, you can compile, but the way I did it was the lame way.
That's not actually
the lame
that's
way.
Not actually compiling.
It's not.
That's
I thought
just
it was
bundling with its own interpreter.
It's bundling, but I believe Ben's right. You actually
like Cython, right?
Compile down the bytecode.
I couldn't tell you the exact library that does it, but I know that you can. I know you can do the same with PHP and things like that as well.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, well, it's a 10-to-1 ratio that you're shooting for.
Yeah, and if the thing's feeding you 1,200 frames per second, then that's much
that
better than
like
what you were using.
That's like an arbitrary number. That's going to be like what the hardware can handle, because the camera's literally just going to report basically in real time.
You're going to be you're going to be limited by whatever
what
your interface is.
Oh, well, this is like for autonomous vehicle navigation, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so it's always helpful to get speed going because then the vehicle can go.
Yeah, every millisecond you have to process that frame of don't hit the child, don't hit the child is a good one. Yeah.
I don't know until the child's wearing like the cat sweatshirt. I'm like, it's just a cat. It's just a cat.
That reminds me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can totally see a piece of code doing this.
Yeah, the best part is the code that someone put in there that said, that's just a cat.
It's just a cat.
Oh, God, no.
Subroutine, just a cat. Oh, keep going.
Well, yeah, someone put that in there.
But the cat is a baby.
Yes, some people.
Reminds me of the article one of you had posted about the robo-taxi in California being shut down.
Yeah, because someone hit somebody, launched them into a human and driving a car hit someone, launched them into the air, and then that person got lodged under a self-driving car that wasn't aware of the new load and kept going.
Load, yes.
Like,
oh my
God. Now in,
oh, wow.
I say that specifically because that car should know my friction coefficient just changed. My angle of incident did not. Like, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here.
But will
something's
that? Wrong. Hang on.
Processing power and code. We can't afford that.
Hang on.
Oh, okay. As long as it saves money.
Will a human actually change the friction coefficient of an electric?
No, I've seen people drive
vehicle.
Miles on a tire that's flat.
Exactly. They don't notice. But
Thump, what was that? I don't know. Maybe the screams coming from under your car is a hint.
I think the victim was unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, I'm sure.
And we're dead.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, if I remember from the article, there was audio evidence of that person. Like, weren't they conscious?
Known as Thump.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, in the early days before railroads, when we had just steamships running all over this river, Hudson and the Mississippi and whatnot, like it started growing the first few decades, there would be approximately 600 boiler explosions a year.
Oh, my God.
On American rivers.
Oh.
From steamboats that bapooey, so there's a short
America.
So, we're doing pretty good with autonomous cars if we have less than 600 people getting run over wearing cat shirts. That's what I
like. Hey, that's
progress. That's
progress. Yeah, it's particularly dangerous during Halloween.
And head to WGXC for our new line of cat-labeled sweatshirts.
Yeah, same rules apply to goblins and witches and
kobolds.
Oh, wow. Could you see, like, the year they actually unleash AI cars and then on Halloween they just go loopy because they don't know what they're running into? They can't interpret. It's a witch. Ah, the cars all just stop or just drive up on the sidewalk. I mean, that's my positive interpretation of what could happen. The negatives are obviously very messy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, humans deem werewolves as an enemy. I would be helping the humans by taking this one out.
So,
the
takeaway is that autonomous vehicles are not ready for prime time without human operators behind the wheel.
Listen, also as a human that watches humans drive all the time, that AI has to screw up a lot to be as bad as us.
That's right, and I think there's a false equivalency being made because people are saying, well, they make poor lawyers. But in fact, they pass the bar more readily than most students. And if you're a lawyer and you need the AI to help you go through all the volumes that you claim you read and don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they also make stuff up, dude.
They also just make stuff up like schizos. Yeah,
well, if you and you can't determine that,
it's your
problem.
I would like to direct your attention like to several of our elected leaders who seem to think making things up is just
make
how things work.
Up. Right.
I mean, that's how humans work.
Yeah.
So screw it. If the AI is just going to make stuff up to make it get
there's
the end of that
thing in the Constitution that allows an AI to be the president of the United States, even if it is 35 years old.
Yeah.
And was brought into existence in Silicon Valley.
Well, we just have to make it a citizen.
Yeah.
Well,
because a lot of things are citizens now.
Corporations have, corporations are persons.
A recent argument that was pretty intriguing person that was foreign born attempting to run for the United States presidency. They said the 14th Amendment, which guarantees everybody equal treatment under the law, supersedes the original ruling saying you can't be born here, you can't be president. Uh-huh. Basically, they're saying that part's been overridden by the 14th Amendment, so foreign-born nationals can become president now. Because if you can't, you are not being treated equally under the law as the same as anyone else.
This is a fallacy because laws are made on a level below the Constitution itself, which sets the rules. So you can't change the rules in the Constitution by writing a law. And
I'm talking about an amendment to the Constitution. Well,
I don't think the amendment says you have to be treated equally.
Yeah, but
equally.
I think it can't say that the 14th Amendment doesn't say that you have to be treated equally under the Constitution. It says under the law. So the law is a different level below the Constitution. So you can't be treated unequally under law. You can't write a law.
But is it the Constitution the supreme law?
Huh? We don't use the term supreme law when we're doing constitutional law.
But what if we can get a group of
supreme
judges to decide against that?
It's a singing group from Motown.
They're quite good.
Yeah. But the Constitution is a level which can't be altered by a law. You can't alter the Constitution with a law.
By the way, if the Supreme Court really is supreme, where's the guac and sour cream?
Wait, what?
What?
That's an interesting idea.
It's actually from a Weird Al song.
I like that.
I don't understand.
It's a culinary reference.
Guac and sour cream.
Burrito Supreme.
Yeah.
I drove a Cutlass Supreme once.
Oh, really?
That did not have guacamole.
That's not your grandfather's Oldsmobile.
It did, but it was down in between the seats.
That is your grandfather's Oldsmobile.
One of my buddies drove a Cutlass Supreme, and it was just beat to hell.
Like a 70s one?
No, it was like circa early 90s, and the leaf springs went on it, like everything. Like just total beat run, and it's like, how does this thing still operate? Like, they got it airborne off a hill and, bottomed it out.
And it kept running, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it did.
That's why. It kept dumbasses like us going.
Piece of Detroit car garbage made mostly of rust still running.
Hey, yeah. No, that's American steel right there, man. I love my Cutlass.
Until one day it just decided to die on me, and at that point in time, I was too dumb to diagnose it.
Well, you look really good while you drive around on your lawnmower. And I know you can keep that running, right up to winter.
Okay, folks, if anybody wants to join us for the after show, you're going to have to head on over to WGXE.org, hit that listen button, and up will pop a tab that shows all the streams available for WGXE. Scroll to the bottom, you'll see Thingularity. That's how you'll be able to keep listening to us on into the after show after the top of the hour. Hmm. And if you don't want to hear that, you want to hear some of the other fine programming on WGXE, just listen to our podcast whenever you want. The after show is usually included.
We haven't reached that yet, so no one can use four-letter words.
Yes, the FCC still reigns now.
That's pretty hard to describe that Cutlass and not use the four-letter words.
Well,
now that I think about it, did I?
You didn't. You did a real good job. I watched your cognitive dissonance just break down. No, I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio. Kids are listening. They can't hear about the inner workings of this Cutlass. And we are all techs here. We have all had to fix stuff. We have all sworn the worst words you've ever heard with wrenches in our hands.
I don't know, man. I saw that printer you put back together. That was I just looked at it. Just
all the parts laid out.
I just knew, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a copier. This CopyStar CS1620 is an old model, about 20 years old. And they had a scanning mechanism, because it's a copier. The little scanner goes back and forth in the top scanner section with the little light. It puts your paper down, and it scans it. The problem is, when you open up the optics on this machine and you got to clean all the mirrors and stuff that are involved in this, what you have is a small network of cables that are intricately wrapped around different cam mechanisms, and they're all timed together, and you have one governing cam that controls the entire mechanism so that all the mirrors on different tracks all travel at an exact same rate. The problem is, if you apply pressure to the wrong part of this path in a manner that is perfectly acceptable to all previous models.
Yeah.
The cables pop off of their position and fly out into the room.
The cables that are hooking all the bolts together.
And then it takes about 3 hours and one whole box of Band-Aids to put it back because you're working under sheet metal with lots of springs. I've covered one of these machines in my own blood before. And then I was almost done, and then I had to go pick up a ringing phone. And it was a telemarketer.
Oh, no. And that telemarketer got the business.
That telemarketer got my darkness because I didn't yell at them. I stopped for a second, and then I started breaking out psychological torment. I had them on the phone for a whole 5 minutes before they cried.
Wow.
Because I was just furious because I'm like, I could either torment you or go back to my project. I'm going to torment you for stopping me. Tell you what, have you ever had a telemarketer call you back after hanging up?
No.
That's me. They call me back to say, "How dare you?" And then I went calmly,
sir?
"Ma'am, I'm recording you, and I am now telling you not to call back." And then I'm going to slowly put this phone down, yelling.
Not really recording, just enjoying the satisfaction.
Because
of it.
I'm legally entitled to sue her if she calls back after that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's happening is her telemarketer boss is listening to this whole conversation and heard me say that and then ran over and slammed her phone down before she got them in trouble.
Yeah.
And then I went back, put the Band-Aids on, and concentrated slowly because I will not stop until I have victory. That's why I have my job. I won't give up a job. I will win. Even if it takes me hours and lots of blood.
Even if it's a copier machine that's so badly engineered that it flies apart just
if you touch
looking
it.
At it wrong.
I once fixed a machine that sat under a leaking toilet for a week. The toilet wasn't gross. It was clean water, except the toilet filled up an entire upper floor that then fell onto my copier. Filled the copier up with water from the top to the bottom. I fixed that.
No, I was going to say, who made that copy machine?
That's a great aquarium.
Copy Star.
So they make some good ones and some really weird ones. Like, this was a weird mechanical problem that I had to deal with. I've got a million electronic parts. That's part of my talent, too, is I could splay all the parts for anything across the floor with all their screws. My boss would regularly walk in and go, "How do you know what to put back?" And I go, it just seems to fit. I also don't care. Like, 1,000 screws are all the same.
Joe is the master of making himself indispensable. I don't really know, but I know, you know?
But it works, so what's wrong?
One very, very important tip to everybody out there. If you make yourself irreplaceable, you will never be promoted.
Yes.
So, break dishes. Break things.
Aren't you
serve yourself, not your master.
But aren't you like a two-man outfit?
That's why it works for us.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm fine. No, but I've worked for corporations.
Until he's ready to go.
No. If you're a cog in the machine, resist. If you're a mom and pop, you got to rely on yourselves like this. There's just no way around it. It's like, I will make it work. Like, somebody recently said, like, they purchased a copier from us, and they're like, "Will this work with Apple systems?" Because that's all we have is Macs. And I'm like, no, those absolutely suck, but I'll make it work. And they like that attitude, and I'm not lying either.
Had they already bought it?
Yes.
Oh.
They're like, "Will this work with our stuff?" I'm like, "I'll make it work for you. I'll find a way to make it work with you."
Yeah. Was it cups?
Was it a print server on a Pi?
Did cups do the job?
Oh, they were Apple users, so they were completely lazy and never really cared in the first place.
Yeah.
They totally gave up. They just didn't even care.
I only have one button.
What? Yeah.
Just
two buttons is this too much. It's too many permutations.
Can you chew my food for me? I'm an Apple user. I need you to chew my food.
Please chew my food.
Well, we lost that one Apple user that was listening to us. So that Android person, you can stay.